Joining us now, she is the fit golfer girl, Carolina Romero. Welcome to the show, Carolina.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So I'm sitting here at the microphone, hunched over a laptop. I'm sure my posture is bad and killing my golf game, isn't it?
Most likely. You know, it's funny because we always blame our golf swing mistake on, you know, our swing, or my swing's not good enough, but a lot of times we don't realize the impact that the things that we do on a daily basis have on our golf game. And sitting down for a long period of time, which, you know, if you have an office job or you drive a lot, we basically all do, or if you're hunched over a lot, just kind of texting or driving or right in front of your computer, those are all things that are going to have a huge negative impact on your golf swing, and you're not even going to know it because you're still blaming your golf swing. But it's actually your body is just incapable of moving the right way.
Well, now, Carolina, you played at USF, and you've gotten all of your certifications in training and even some very specific things about functional aging specialists and things like that. I'm curious when, you know, you look at the golf game. We just profiled a product from Ergo Golf that is supposed to reduce the number of times that you're bending over during the round because to reduce lower back problems and things like that. If you think about golf and the kinds of activity that you do during a round, all the bending and all the rotation are like the two worst things you can do for your body. How can we better prepare, especially as, at least here in the Carolinas and north of us, the weather starts to cool down?
For sure. Well, you know, believe it or not, bending and you know, like going down and grabbing your golf ball and rotating doesn't have to be bad for your body. It's not really bad for your body. The problem is that most of us do it wrong. So, you know, for us to be able to rotate in a safe way, we need to make sure that there's mobility in specific areas of our body. For example, our thoracic spine. So you might be wondering, what the hell is that? Well, if you're like looking at your neck, that's your cervical spine, and you're looking at your lower back, that's your lumbar spine. That everything in the middle, that mid back, is the thoracic spine. And when you rotate through there, there should be absolutely no reason why you should be in pain. However, most of us, because of our daily habits like hunching and, you know, just sitting a lot, that gets so, so tight, and it doesn't allow us to rotate through there. So what happens? The lower back goes ahead and kicks in. That's why it's so important to make sure that before you tee off, whether it's summer or whether it's really cold, which actually makes it a lot harder for you to warm up and to get those muscles moving, so important to get yourself like into a good workout, warm-up routine right before you tee off. And I don't mean going into the range and hitting, like, two buckets of balls. I mean, like, doing some exercises that are going to get you ready to swing.
Yeah, and I was going to say, so you know, the good news for me is I work at home, and I sit in front of a computer, and I type on a keyboard all day. But I have a 13-month-old that I help take care of at home, so I get to get up and chase him around a lot. So I've actually, my back's got, and my flexibility's gotten a lot better because I'm not sitting all day, I'm chasing him around a lot. So if there are people out there that do sit the majority of the day, you know, in an office or at home working, what's a couple of things that they can do, and how often should they do it during the day to help kind of keep this flexibility and this mobility going so that on Friday afternoon I can go grab that 1 o'clock tee time and not be stiff as a board teeing it up?
Awesome. Yeah, that is a great question. So if you have an office job, you sit down for a long time, then you hop in your car, sit down for another hour, then you get home, sit down, have dinner, and then sit down again and have some, you know, for some TV time, you are going to have one of the most serious problems, not just for golfers, but for everybody in the world, and that's going to be really tight hip flexors. So if you guys are wondering where that is, imagine, like, the muscle right to the side of your hip. So right underneath your hip bone, there's this muscle that connects your pelvis with your leg. And when you sit down a lot, this muscle gets really, really short. And unfortunately, when this happens, our glutes, which, as we all know, are the most important muscle in the golf swing, got completely, completely inactive, and they just don't do their job. And this can lead to lower back pain, it can lead to injuries and other things. So if you guys sit down a lot, obviously I recommend that you get up at least every hour for a quick little walk. If you can try a standing desk, that would be amazing. But if you can, definitely stretch out your hip flexors. And the way you're going to do this is that you are going to basically do a regular quad stretch, the one that we learned in high school, to hold on to your quad. But when you're there, squeeze your glutes really hard and tuck your tailbone in so that you can move that stretch from the front of your thigh a little bit up higher to your hip flexor. And that's going to do wonders for your body. It's going to reduce a lot of that lower back pain that you're feeling, and it's going to prevent you from having injuries. And also, most importantly, it's going to help you gain some power and distance at the golf course, right?
Mm. Well, all right. Well, we're talking to Carolina Romero, the Fit Golfer Girl. Check her out at fitgolfergirl.com. You know, I'm curious. We've got listeners I know who are out there like, duh, I don't need to stretch. I'm a former Marine, played college football. I don't need to stretch because I'm not going to get hurt. Well, I think we need to convince them that it's not only the risk of injury before you go out and play, especially on a cool day, but you can improve your performance if you actually take the time to stretch. What, is there data to support that, or am I just being optimistic?
No, there is absolutely data to support that. So we've heard a lot of, you know, talk. Some people are, you know, upset because some of our golf pros lift too much. As a goal, it's lifting good for golf. You know, if you're a former Marine or if you're a bodybuilder, if you just love lifting weights, that's all great. However, whenever you lift heavy weights, and if you've ever gone to the gym, you've experienced this before, your muscles get really tight, and they get kind of, they get really sore and tight, and the more that you do it, the tighter they get. So as long as you are going to the gym and doing your strength exercises, but you're maintaining those ranges of motion that are necessary for golf by stretching or doing specific exercises that move your body through that, you know, swing pattern and that rotation in the thoracic spine, you will be amazed at how much better you'll be at golf. And just to kind of give you a quick example, let me tell you my own personal experience with this issue. So I graduated college and I moved out to New York City. And I just obviously didn't have a car there. And I basically stopped golfing for a few years. And, you know, it was just kind of like a part of living in the city. So, I loved fitness. I started lifting really heavy, and I decided that I was going to become a bodybuilder. I was going to do shows, and I was going to compete, and it was going to be amazing. So I started lifting super heavy. I gained, like, maybe 20 pounds of muscle. I was super jacked. I loved it. And then when I, you know, when it was time to come back to golf, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to crush the ball. This is going to be insane. I'm so much stronger. I was deadlifting like 300 pounds. Like, I am going to kill it. And I go to play golf and actually lost 10 yards with each club. So clearly I was a lot stronger, but that didn't mean that I kept and I maintained that flexibility in the areas that I needed. So it is very important that if you're lifting and you want to stay, continue to improve your golf game, you are also focused on that aspect, not just lifting and getting stronger and bigger.
So, Carolina, how does it change as we get older? We're all getting older, and you know, when you have an aging clientele, how are the stretching routines and the workout focuses and the things that you're looking for them to do different than somebody who's younger, for example?
That's a great question. So, as you know, I live in Boca Raton, Florida, which is like a city that's filled with people that are retired and they're just golfing every single day. And they're basically the thing that changes when I train, you know, somebody younger and some of my retired people is that at this point we're just trying to correct the habits that they did throughout their whole life that ruined the way their body moves. So a lot of the things that I see in older people are just really bad posture, really bad rounded shoulders. We see that, like, forward head, you know, like those people that, like, look like a giraffe, like the neck just kind of, like, goes forward.
Uh-huh.
I see that a lot. I see lots of lower back pain. And like I said, all these things are just caused from years and years of doing things wrong, bad habits, or maybe even lifting wrong at the gym. So what I do with those people is just basically try to correct those things by strengthening the right muscles and stretching the right muscles as well.
Yeah, and it's a balance, isn't it, between flexibility and strength. I mean, you talked about having all the strength in the world and losing 10 yards. You had to develop that flexibility back. I mean, I was on the range here when the PGA Championship was here and listening to Vijay Singh talking, and he said, you know what? You don't see any golfer who has a really long, fluid swing having back problems, whereas you see these guys that continually try and shorten and tighten up their swing and get more, you know, more transition power and all that stuff, having the back problems. I mean, is that kind of what you see as well? Is that if you have a long, fluid swing, you have that flexibility and you don't have to worry as much about back issues?
You know, it's a funny thing to say that because at the end of the day, the swing has very little to do with how whether you get injured or not. It has more to do with your body imbalances. So, for example, when you see a random person walking down the street, you have really no idea what's wrong with them, if their glutes are weak or if their hip flexors are tight or if they have really tight shoulder muscles or really tight chest muscles, right? You have no idea. You can't really see that. In golf, when those habits and those muscles get really tight, there's going to be specific coaching mistakes that you're going to start to make, right? So, you know, our golf pros, they're so great. They're so good that they're almost able to just kind of, like, not make this golf swing mistake. But like the length and the fluidity of the swing, it really does not make much of a difference. And let me just kind of give you an example. For example, Rory, when he was a younger kid, he was very small, you know, very small, but he still hit the ball miles. And he started having lower back pain. Obviously, he had a really fluid swing. He was a kid that didn't lift much. He, you know, just he was just tiny. And he was producing all this force by all of this other aspects. So, you know, force equals times, mass times is acceleration. So his mass was very small. So he was having to produce lots of acceleration during his golf swing. Now, he started to lift to get some muscle mass. And now his mass was higher, so he had to produce less acceleration to generate the same amount of power. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Oh, no.
Oh,
go ahead.
Does it make sense to you? Yeah. So it doesn't really matter the kind of swing that you have. It's just kind of like how your body is moving through the swing. You know, whether you're having to generate acceleration via your mass or you're having to generate acceleration via putting your body in, you know, under stress, which is what we definitely don't want to happen.
So it's really, I mean, you're talking about keeping everything in balance. As you get stronger and bigger and have more mass, you might need to change your acceleration, you know, so that your swing is balanced and it less concussive, less, I used to say that my life was more collision than precision. Certainly my golf game is.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And here's the funny thing. This is the tricky part. You know, I'm 28. I am fairly healthy. But as a trainer, I know where my body imbalances are, and I know that if I don't fix them now, in a few years, I'm going to have injuries and I'm going to have aches and pains. So if you're young or you are, you know, old, a little older than me, but you're lucky enough that you don't have any pain, don't take it for granted, because it's just possible that your body imbalances are going to kick in eventually and you could get injured. Or your golf performance could not get so good. This is why it's so important to, you know, make sure that you understand the way your body moves. And the best way to do that is to see like a really good GPI certified or FMS certified personal trainer that's going to help you understand what you need to do. Because not all bodies are the same.
Well, we're talking to the Fit Golfer Girl, Carolina Romero, and we're going to have you back on when we get a little bit chillier up here in the Carolinas and talk about some things we can do training inside. But before we let you go, I'm going to take you off the reservation a little bit here with this question. There was a lot of talk this year about activewear and female athletes on the golf course and what's appropriate and what isn't. And I don't think it should be middle-aged guys determining this. Talk me through your attitude toward, you know, where the line should be drawn. I mean, I certainly Laura Davies in pleated khakis and a wool vest is not the right way to go. Where do you stand on active wear on the golf course or on the range?
Well, it's funny you say that. I love active wear. I live in it. I don't ever take it off. Like, I'm not even joking. I feel like this is a really tricky question because golf is a really classy sport. And, you know, I asked my followers via social media what their reasons were for not supporting, you know, the women wearing active wear at the golf course. And all of them were, you know, like, oh, well, you know, this is a classy sport. Like, let's keep it classy and all that stuff. But when I look at, you know, athletes like Michelle Wee and I see her outfits, yeah, you know, they're beautiful. You know, she looks great. She looks absolutely wonderful. She is a great athlete. Her outfit is really not taking from her performance at all. So is it the women's activewear that needs to change, or is it the golf attitude towards modern, new trends that need to change? That's, you know, kind of like my feeling. I feel like as golf, you know, as time goes by, golf also has to evolve with it. And especially, you know, as you are trying to bring on new players of my age or even younger, things like that are going to have to start to change. Obviously, we definitely want to keep it classy. We don't want to make it like something where, you know, like boobs are all over the place and, you know, skirts are way too short. So there's got to be some guidelines. But as long as you're respectful, you're keeping it classy, you look good, you look put together, I don't see why not. You know, but I do think that eventually that transition is going to have to happen. And, you know, those old school golfers are just going to have to relax a little bit and understand that it's just part of life, you know? It just has to change.
Exactly. I think, you know, and the men are wearing performance fabrics in their pants, and they're not wearing the pleated, you know, khakis anymore, and Tiger Woods certainly shortened the sleeve length and brought the mock. I mean, I remember a big debate at my club about mock turtleneck. Is that a collared shirt? Is it not a collared shirt? And I think the sport has to evolve. And when you're talking about it is a sport, and dressing appropriately for the activity that you're participating in has as much to do with, as you say, the rules and guidelines of maybe a club as being able to perform at your best and wear the proper clothing to do so. So I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, and for example, you know, the guys just recently were able to wear shorts to the practice round of, you know, I think it was the PGA Championship, right?
Yep, it was here.
And, oh, there you go. So I don't see anything wrong with that. You know what I mean? Like, we see guys wearing shorts to golf. They look great. They're great athletes. How is that taking away from, you know, the sport? I don't think it is, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
it's just like, you know, they're more comfortable. They're suffering from less heat stroke, which we know has happened in the past. So I think that is definitely something that, you know, is going to be changing as time goes by. And change is hard, especially for, you know, old school people that are just a little bit stuck in their ways. But there's changes inevitable. So I'm thinking that give it 10 years and those are going to be things that are not a problem. Obviously, we still want to keep it respectful and professional at the golf course, but we just got to evolve with the times.
Well, Carolina, we appreciate you coming on with us, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me, guys, and have a great colder winter golf season up there in the Carolinas.